SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. The rain has stopped here, it seems, and downstate. But as we speculated, and as Andy more or less guaranteed, he was 100% right, the relentless weather downstate. And off the turf today for the Pick 6 carryover sequence, 46,000 races 4 through 9, and going to wait for some scratches. But it actually feels kind of approachable. So we'll wait for some scratches, and we'll talk later with Seth Merrow when Seth's available. And, of course, last week, holy cow, I'm glad this came up because it made me remember to congratulate Seth for that tremendous push. I mean, he was right out in front, and the hardest horse in that sequence, the Dale Capuano Invader. That's been a recurring theme. State breds coming from out of state, New York breds that ended up in other jurisdictions. When they come home to New York, they've been tough, and we'll see if we can't figure out a few avenues here. Meanwhile, it is a huge Wednesday in terms of the draws around the country, and whether it's at Churchill and at Belmont, Santa Anita and Hammer yesterday put together day one of the autumn meet. We touched on it minutes ago. You heard the replay with John White. The Eddie D gets things going. That'll start off the stakes portion of the Santa Anita season. Things will get serious right away later this afternoon when the fields come together for the two-year-olds and the awesome again. Jay Privman speculating after West Coast's work that he will probably very well could get his tune up, seemed to indicate that Baffert was leaning toward running West Coast in the awesome again as a tightener toward the Breeders' Cup Classic, and horses really all around the country starting to dial in and get those patches battened down, including Catholic Boy. We'll talk to Dave Grenig on Friday. As I said, Belmont, they will pull things together for the weekend. Should be just terrific. I touched on most of the races with Andy and his visit yesterday, but those fields, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, the Joe Hirsch, the Vosburgh, Imperial Hint. We've got, we got headliners in all of those races. I suppose the Hirsch comes up as the biggest spread. Diversify on the Gold Cup front, and Imperial Hint for the Vosburgh. The Pilgrim too. The 2-year-old boys going 8.5 for that Churchill card. The Lucas Classic, the Grade 3 now, and the Jeff Cup and the ACAC. All of the traditional, now traditional, pulling together. And we've also got, beside the awesome again, and the American Pharoah for the 2-year-olds, the Chandelier for the girls, the Rodeo Drive, mile and a quarter on the grass, win and you're in for the Filly and Mare Turf and the Unzip Me, as we mentioned yesterday. And I will also note, since I'm looking right at the stakes schedule, Delaware wrapping up, and they've got their traditional Owner's Day, the Owner's Appreciation Card, with all those nice stakes. stuff like The Small Wonder and The First Date and all that, The Rosenberger, etc. That's always a good card. Also, considering that Steve Asmussen talked about his horses, what, four of them for the, as many as four, for the Oklahoma Derby. That draw won't be till Thursday. We'll see. We won't see really until weekend preview day on Friday. Be our first opportunity to look at the Remington, the big day. And it is a big day. I mean, not just the Oklahoma Derby and the Remington Oaks. There's, I think the whole card is, I think it's a all stakes card. So, the real weekend that heralds in the lead up toward Breeders' Cup. There's a stake that I'm going to throw into this because it leads into one of our visits this morning and a piece of sad news that popped up late yesterday. They'll run the New York Breeders' Futurity, the rich New York Breeders' Futurity at Finger Lakes on Saturday. And news came from Finger Lakes in a press release that Les Hewlett had passed, and the name immediately, I mean, there's one horse that's more associated, at least for me, mentally right away, with Les Hewlett. And Hewlett had a long career and was an absolute, you know, just the dominant force at Finger Lakes, and won 3,800 plus races. 80 something, I think I saw somewhere 89th, I think, all time. So in the top 100 all time wins. And the horse that he's most closely associated with is one of the first great New York breds. And here's a Saturday where we might end up, you know, focusing on diversifying and Mind Your Biscuits. Now, the first graded stake winner among New York breds was Fiorito. And Fiorito won the 1981 Whitney under Les Hewlett. And Hewlett then came back and won the Michigan Mile. This for Mike Ferraro and for owner Ray Lassesi, Mike Lassesi's dad. And Fiorito, who was buried at Finger Lakes, really kicked off what, you know, what has led, you know, 30 years later to, you know, the New York breeding program being as much on a par with any, you know, with any state bred program, and with a parade of New York breds that, you know, win graded stakes and become champions. Of course, Gary's Saratoga Doo, she was the first New York bred to win an Eclipse Award, and it was Fiorito who started it all. Les Hewlett was 69. Mike Ferraro, who trained Fiorito, will be with us, and he'll pay tribute to Les. Les was 69, brain cancer, and it took him quickly. It was discovered and it took him. And family and friends, I guess the huge family too. I mean, the Hewletts had seven children. He was a Mormon, which I didn't know. Les Hewlett was a Mormon, and seven children, 19 grandchildren, married 46 years at the age of 23. And it really sad. And when this news popped up, and there are a lot of people in this area that probably have pictures on their wall with Les Hewlett in the irons. So our condolences to his wife, Ginger, and all the kids. Zelma, Jeffrey, Zachary, Nick, Callie, Emma, and Riley. And 19 grandchildren. A good jock. I saw him win. He's been retired. He's 69. It's probably he must have ridden until he was 50. Easily lived in Utah. He's a Mormon, so you have to. No, you don't have to live in Utah. But so Mike Ferraro is going to come by, and I wish it wasn't. Mike Ferraro does a terrific job, and I hate that it's under these circumstances to have him visit. Pete Fornatale, after the first break, we'll catch up on the contest scene. And we got to talk tomorrow to Tom Quigley, Santa Anita, with the start of this autumn season. They're going to have a slew of qualifiers, and we'll talk about those upcoming, I think five during the period. And we also have to dive in. I've got the PPs for Fridays. All right, Stronach, five. All right, I'll call it that. It's the Magnify. Magnify. It's back, and we can dive in. And boy, it's a tough sequence. A dollar pricing, super low takeout, almost ridiculously low, 12%. Multi-race wagers don't actually need to be that low, honestly. But I'd rather, how about we get those whips down? How about you want to do some low takeout? Take the knife to the win play show. The Laurel 9th, the Santa Anita 4th, the Gulfstream 8th, Golden Gate 4th, Gulfstream 9th is your first Stronach 5 for Friday. And we'll cap that tomorrow going into Friday. That Eddie D down the hill. It starts the late pick four Friday, too. Doing this on Friday, a clever gambit, frankly. Because we're going to play. And so once you print these PPs, it's easy to lead right into the Santa Anita pick four. Right? Absolutely. Also, some more breeding news. Sid will join us. The official word that Irish Warcry was retired. Mrs. De Tomaso's wonderful homebred that really had great affection for. The news comes. And we'll talk about it with Sid, because there was a bit of a Lazy Susan activity. He's going to go to Northview in Maryland and a deal with Hill and Dale. We'll talk about it with Sid, Norm McKnight later, and much more. Stay with us. Sid, Mike Ferraro, Norm McKnight, Pete Fornatale. He starts us next. Seth Merrow later.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Brown Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Brown Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races, and usually we play this after Labor Day, you know, at the end of Saratoga and Del Mar. It's really gone now, I'll tell you. I had to put the heat on yesterday. I got finished with the show, and once we resecured the runaway pancake, the kitten, I had to turn the heat on. This may be September. Yesterday was what? September 25th. I said to myself, and I was wearing a vest too. I was wearing like a little, you know, like a light, what do you call it? A vest. I realized, God, it's cold in here. I look at the thermostat. It was 61 in the house. I said, you got to get this up a couple of points. I turned, here's Pete Fornatel. And of course, when you live in New York, sometimes you're at the mercy of the landlord, of the superintendent. And, you hear the clanking of the radiator clanking, the steam working its way into the system. I think it's too early for that, but there might be some people banging on the pipes. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. Yeah, it's always frustrating in these buildings where the heat isn't. There's one in our building here now. The thermostat is on the third floor, and there's five floors total. And the temperature in our level, the first level in the basement, has nothing to do with the rest. So it's always a great tug of war. I'm not going to have to worry about heat today. It feels like it might be like 80 here today when it's all said and done. But I am leaving the confines of Brooklyn and actually heading upstate, Steve. A few things I didn't get to do to sort of wrap the house for the winter / late fall. So I've got to zip back up to Saratoga today. So I expect it to get to wake up and go for a run in about 50-degree weather tomorrow morning. I'm actually really looking forward to it compared to the rainy steam bath that this place has been of late.
Well, you may be in for even more of a surprise, because
snow?
Tina said to me, well, not snow yet, but it is supposedly, I think, Saturday night into Sunday, into the 30s. So it doesn't take long. But this is, as I like to call it, this is pneumonia weather. And when it can go from 37 to 81, and you, I tell you, and I'm just still laughing about, there's people around the country, Pete, they have never experienced the annoyance of radiators. They have no idea what we're talking about. But I can recall. I lived in Kansas City, too, in an old building that had been a hotel, the Bell Reeve, on East Armour. And that had the radiators. And, oh, then there's also the conundrum of having to, like, open the windows in certain days in the during the winter, because it gets so hot in the house, in the apartment, that you're opening, you're like begging for cool air to come in and cool the apartment down. It's a certain lifestyle.
It's what we deal with here, and it's why we, and that type of heat also, Harvey Pack contends in May the Horse Be With You, it's why we all have postnasal drip all the time. So it's very much related to the radiator phenomenon.
Too funny. Well, we're going to turn our attention to the action. And I know that, like me, with Santa Anita back on the menu starting Friday, and Keeneland coming up next week after Churchill wraps up this brief but important period, kind of getting excited. And I gotta admit, because I was a huge Magna 5 fan, I've been talking about it nonstop, I'm excited about Friday and playing the Magna 5 and the Santa Anita with a bunch of qualifiers coming up there. This is kind of that little period, it seems, Pete, where people may have taken a break after Del Mar and Saratoga, and now they get back in and put the pedal down.
That's exactly right. I feel like the Breeders' Cup, Breeders' Cup prep stuff never goes away. You've got win and you're in races practically all year long. But I think this is when fans and bettors' attention really turn to it, with the Breeders' Cup coverage having launched in earnest on the DRF site just this week, and with those fall meets that are known for having Breeders' Cup prep races, it's going to be exciting to see who shows up and watch this final round of preps with extra interest as we build to the Breeders' Cup. And it's almost the same thing for contest players, where we've now got there's going to be more action at Santa Anita, more action at Keeneland. I think some players actually look at it the same way, their final preps for the big Breeders' Cup betting challenge, which is going to be obviously coming up in conjunction with that event. And I think players are going to be happy with some of the new rules. I know there are some who weren't happy with some of the things that happened last year who are going to sit this year out, but hopefully it's going to come off without a hitch and reestablish itself as one of the preeminent contests of the fall, and we have a championship event for players to go along with the championship event for horses.
Well, I would love if you could hit the calendar highlights, and so the people can plan ahead here over the next several weeks, particularly for those that kind of may not have been paying attention really since we wrapped up post Labor Day.
No, it makes sense. In contest terms, the three things on my horizon, in addition to the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, of course, are the two of them are happening the same weekend, and which one you shoot for is going to depend on which type of player you are. At the Orleans Las Vegas, there's a mythical money contest with a $500 buy-in called the Fall Classic that a lot of players are just huge fans of the Orleans contest. A chance to basically, Duke Matisse described it to me once as a chance to go and sit with friends and family and bet horses for 3 days. Now, I don't know if they're still regulars at the fall one, if he's more still focused on the Horse Player World Series, the companion event in spring. But the Fall Classic will be at the Orleans Las Vegas October 11th through 13th. If you're a long shot player looking to get involved in contests, if you're somebody who's comfortable looking at a lot of tracks at once, there's a lot of reasons why this Orleans contest could suit you, bankroll also being one of them. Again, just $500 to play. Now, over that same, on that same Sunday, that Saturday into Sunday at Keeneland, that's the Fall Challenge. I'm expecting that to be a robust field. The Keeneland contest just seemed to get bigger and better every year. VIP treatment for horse players, and I think it's really just a pilgrimage for horse players in general to have a chance to go down to Lexington, the seat of the industry in the U.S., and hopefully not just obviously you're going to want to spend tons of time at Keeneland, but hopefully you get a chance, whether it's through a site like Horse Country or through the farms themselves, to do some breeding farm tours. If you're a whiskey drinker or interested in that whole process, obviously a whole range of stuff. You've got an option like Old Friends in Kentucky, also in, I think that's in Georgetown down there, to visit, to just really get in touch with your inner racing fan as well as your horse player side. That Keeneland contest is great. Two opportunities, lower bankroll on Saturday. I think that's a $400 event. And then the big one, the $3,000 event on the Sunday, the contest that the place is really known for. And then looking ahead to just past the Breeders' Cup, in fact, the very next weekend, strong contingent of Southern California players will be appearing for the Del Mar Handicapping Challenge. That's November 10th and 11th at Del Mar. Even though it's so close, right on the heels of the BCBC, because there's such a strong community of contest players out there, that event does pretty darn well. And it's a $4,500 entry fee event. If you're looking for an opportunity to travel to Southern California, get away from some of the East Coast stuff that we were just referring to happening out in November, the Del Mar trip is a really good one, and I'm looking forward to doing the double. I'm going to be at both the Breeders' Cup contest and also head out there for Del Mar. As I think I mentioned last week, Susan has a bike trip out there. We're going to make a nice Southern California jaunt in November as well to lift our spirits. All of these contests, of course, you can buy in directly, but why not try to win your way in on the DRF Tournaments website? Options at various price points to start your path to all those contests. We have qualifiers, definition of a qualifier. You win in directly to one of those big events. And then we also have feeders, which are essentially qualifiers for qualifiers. Start off at a low bankroll and advance along the way and have a chance to get into these biggest events. Go to tournaments.drf.com to check out all your options for this interesting slate of fall contest action.
Very nice, and I know we'll discuss it tomorrow with Tom Quigley, and it was Quigley's birthday the other day. I saw that virtually the entire contest world lined up to wish Quigley a happy birthday. The ExpressBet / Santa Anita contest that I referred, the five-pack between now and closing day of the meet, this Saturday, opening weekend, $500 buy-in, $300 bank, $200 toward prizes. And that's got a Pegasus entry. It's got two NHC entries. And then also there's win-ins for the October 6th contest. Then, so next Saturday, October 6th, $3,000 buy-in, $2,000 bankroll, $1,000 toward prizes, and you can play online at ExpressBet or on track. An entry to Pegasus, an entry to the BCBC, two NHC seats, plus entries to the Sunday. This is the doubleheader, the 6th and 7th. Same rules and same prizes. One BCBC, two Pegasus, two NHCs. I mean, this is going to be the focus, I imagine, for tons of Southern California and regional players that will come in for the weekends. Saturday, October 20th, the $500 buy-in. And again, play online. You can play it on ExpressBet or at the track. One Pegasus and two NHCs. $20,000 prize pool as well to the top four finishers. And then closing day after Breeders' Cup, Friday and Saturday, Sunday, November 4th, $3,000 buy-in and two entries, make it three entries to Pegasus and two NHCs, and $50,000 to the top five players. So this quintet of Santa Anita contest, this is a very intense opportunity for players.
Absolutely. Santa Anita, I always describe them as the market leaders when it comes to contest play, and it's interesting to see them, with it, as much as they do already, expanding it even more. It just shows how important contests are to that business model. Lots of opportunities for players to win cash, to win seats to other tournaments, and I mentioned the concept of VIP treatment for horse players before. Nobody does that better than Santa Anita. That's why you have people who live as far away as Minnesota and Texas who consider Santa Anita their home track, because that's what they make you feel at home. And I would definitely recommend players, if you have an opportunity to get away for a weekend, that's another one, that another place that every horse player should be making a pilgrimage to. Just it's a pretty magic environment there, and if you play in the contest, especially that, I can't guarantee this, but I would imagine if you play in the bigger buy-in contest, you'd be able to have entree to the Eddie Logan Suite for a day or two, which is just one of my favorite places to watch races, and you're sure to meet some other like-minded horse players. I should really try to get an article about that series, Steve. That's pretty cool. I wonder if they're doing any kind of interconnected contest within a contest. I'll give Nate Newby a call later today and see if I can't do some reporting on that coming up in the pages of Daily Racing for him. Really seems like something exciting the contest players should. I should do something to publicize to make sure everybody knows about. It's a great opportunity.
Well, Belmont on Saturday as well. I want to slip this one in and remind everybody, if you hadn't been aware, there is the super qualifier. This was announced at the end of the summer, and the first of the super qualifiers, Jockey Club Gold Cup Day Saturday, $1,500. This is on track only. $1,500, $1,000 bankroll, $500 entry fee toward the prize pool, and $50 win place wagers on 10 races, and those races can be played at Belmont, Laurel, and Gulfstream. There is a 1-15 ratio, so 150 players, maybe, you know, that's about right, maybe a little less. You're looking at 10 seats. So for every 15 players that are at Belmont on Saturday, there'll be an NHC berth, and there is a $500,000 bonus for any super qualifier winner should they win the NHC in Vegas in February. So this one should be a lot of fun, and I imagine there'll be a big turnout. Go to Naira.com, and you can register, and I'll send that link out shortly. How about that?
I like it. That's definitely a favorable ratio for a live event. I'd say for players who have circled the NHC, you haven't made your goal yet, or you're chasing tour points, whatever the case may be, excellent opportunity if that's on your contest goals for the year, have an opportunity to win your way into Vegas, come out and join us. You won't find too many ratios of entries to seats better than that one. So definitely something to go to the NYRA site and investigate further.
Well, and also at DRF.com, of course, your follow-up to last weekend. And, boy, there's no stopping the familiar names. Joe Pettit.
Very happy to see my man, the handicapping haberdasher. He furnished me. They unfortunately didn't arrive in time, but he furnished me with a couple of hats to wear for the World Horse Players Tour pilot episode out at Santa Anita. But I had ended up leaving a little early, and the hats ended up arriving a day late. I didn't get to wear one of his in the actual show, but it was apparently the good karma for Joe from sending those hats has shown itself. He's now won two important tournaments in the span of 2 months. He captured one of the two Saratoga tournaments, and now he's turned that into a win at, well, didn't turn that into, but separately won the big one at Laurel. Very interesting contest. You know, a lot of people have different ideas about how contest formats should work. This one is a live bank contest that I think would really appeal to the mythical money player, because wager size was actually restricted to $250 a race. So what that meant is, and this was, I thought, very impressive from Joe, a guy who, to win Saratoga, bet a $1,300. I think it was a 13. It was a 1,300 to win and a $300 straight exacta. Very aggressive play. He was on offense there. Here he was on defense because he seized the lead on day two, and from there it was a question of betting conservatively and smart and not letting the rest of the field catch up to him, and that's what he did. I was surprised when I saw the original leaderboard. I saw a player like Tony Joe with a bankroll of 1,800 left, and I'm thinking, how does a guy like this end up eighth with 1,800? This is a player, I know how aggressive he is. I know how badly he wants to win. It was only then that I realized he was limited to only betting 250 in the last race. So what it does, I'm not saying I love it. I definitely don't like it better than the typical live bank format, but it is interesting, especially from a game theory point of view, how it takes away the advantage of the players for whom the money doesn't really mean that much and they can really just treat it like chips, and makes for a little bit more strategy and compressed leaderboard for players who can't stand toe-to-toe with those players who are willing to fire it all. It ended up being a very interesting game theory situation at the end where the correct play for Pettit was to barely make any play at all in the last race. A tough luck story for the second place finisher in there too, Steve. Carl Barth, whom I don't know, but I heard, well, I didn't hear, I read in Eric Wing's blog on the Horse Tourney's website that he apparently was going back to bet more on the horse that eventually won and got shut out. So definitely a good bad beat contest story for the second place finisher. But his loss, Joe Pettit's gain, and very just glad to see a very sharp player and good dude continue to have success in the contest sphere.
Well, there were plenty of attractive prices to poach that popped up, particularly at Laurel, actually. In fact, we talked yesterday to Pat Kelly about his fire key, and I saw that some of those prices, any number of them, were a big part of the big one results.
Absolutely. Also, the online qualifiers, fire key proved decisive with Alex Calzi winning a seat to the Keeneland Challenge and Samuel Poggi winning his $5,000 buy-in into the World Championship of Handicapping. If you were able to come up with the likes of Fire Key or Quest Deck at Belmont, that was going to give you a big advantage on that day. And those Laurel races were featured everywhere. It was kind of good to see them have such big races on the big contest day.
I see that also from your piece that at Los Al in the NHC qualifier, Craig Kaufman, Linda Rodriguez, and Leo. What a surprise.
Great to see Leo Vukmanovic. Great that he'll be back with us at the NHC. I don't know that I'll have to use him as a chauffeur again this year at the end of the tournament. He took me, we had that nice, first time I've ever done it actually, to ride across the desert from Vegas to LA. I contend that one of the most fun days of Saratoga for me was the surprise call I got from Leo earlier.
Yes.
That he'd appeared for his second day at Saratoga to attend Duke Matisse's birthday party. We had a great day at the track, and then even more fun, bowling a little bit at night, honoring, helping Duke ring in the new year.
You know, since the West Coast names pop up here, I should mention, I don't know if you caught Johnny on Monday with me, Johnny D, but Johnny went back and to sort of commemorate the return of the Magna Five, now incarnated as the Stronach Five. He pulled out the first one ever, and among the horses from the Santa Anita portion of the Magna Five results, Brent Sumja sending out a winner.
That's great.
Right?
I'll ask him about that. I knowing him, he probably bet it too.
there's a good chance of that. But that was very funny from his days sending out horses. I thought that was you'd love that.
He won a lot of races back in the day, and he uses that horseman's knowledge now to help him, not just betting at the windows, but obviously one of the best contest players. There is Sumja, the great combination of an ability to. He's a sheet player. He really reads. He reads the sheets like a trainer. Like he'll see. We'll be looking at the same thing, and he'll see something. Once he points it out, I can see it's there, but I wouldn't have come up with it on my own. He definitely is thinking like a horseman all the time, and that also helps him just in his reading of the PPs, of course, in daily racing form. Sumja's one of my favorites. I met him when doing the book, The Winning Contest Player, and he's remained a friend and a go-to when I need a quote or a thought about something. And also interesting in that he would rather bet on your average, your quote-unquote average fare. He'd rather bet a claiming race on a Thursday than a Grade 1 stake. He just is more comfortable with the everyday. That separates him from a lot of contest players and horse players such as myself, who definitely prefer to look at the, you know, something with Breeders' Cup implications than the average claimer where there's all that. I just feel like there's so much guesswork. I guess from his experience on the backside, he's so good at that guesswork that it actually takes what's a negative for me and turns it into a positive for himself.
Yeah, and that's a topic in and of itself that is interesting. And from a handicapper standpoint, Brad Free is somebody that taught me and that I gleaned from that arena. That I mean, I have always gravitated and felt more comfortable with, you know, with the big horses at a higher level, and was intimidated by the cheaper races where at a glance a lot of horses kind of look alike. But years ago, Brad kind of talked me. I think we were doing a pick six sequence, and I introduced maybe the nightcap of a sequence. I said, you know, Brad, I, you know, this is a maiden, whatever it was, maiden 10, maiden 20, and or just a straight claimer at a low level. And I said, I find these a jumble. And he said, don't be intimidated by these. They're formful. He said they're more formful than in some cases the higher levels. And I kind of built off of that myself. So I know what you're referring to with when Brent says that he would prefer the meat and potatoes racing.
Brad is such a great handicapper and so rooted in the fundamentals, a book that I always recommend, not just for new players, but for players looking to sort of reground themselves in the fundamentals of handicapping. That book, Handicapping 101, really, I haven't read it actually in a long time. The handicapping horse player geek that I am will read old handicapping books from time to time for inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe this conversation will make me bust out Handicapping 101 again, because I did learn a lot from that and his process. And I do think, as I think about it, sometimes, obviously, it's all race specific, but a lot of times in those lower level races, you'll have easy pitches that you ain't going to have necessarily at the higher levels, at least with lightly raced horses. So that is another interesting angle in those. But I think what really separates him for me is his emphasis on the fundamentals, and that's something that I think we all can get away from at times when we have so much knowledge and so much stuff about the way the tracks are playing and trainer angles, and that stuff's all really important. And when you know your circuit, you're going to need that stuff, but you don't want to drift too far away from that fundamental base. And Brad's so good at that, and very pleased to be his colleague and have had lots of opportunities to work with him at DRF over the last few years.
Well, and on that topic, as we go, we'll mention that the Ron Rippey, the Handicapping Media Award, that is now in its fifth year already. I was one of the judges year one when Barry Meadow, his statistics and garbage piece, which is still terrific to read. All of Barry Meadow stuff is always germane. But the entry, the call for entries is out for those of you that have written handicapping pieces, and it can be blog based as long as it's got some sort of a published aspect to it, and you can send your published work to Rippey Award, that's Rippey with two P's, Ron Rippey, R-I-P-P-E-Y, award at Brisnet.com. And, of course, Ed DeRosa manages and directs the Rippey Award contest each year. And the writing from September 1st of last year through this past Sunday. So I thought I'd use that as a call for entrance. The Ron Rippey. Pete, safe trip up here, and maybe we'll see you at the farmer's market at some point here in the next couple of days.
Would be my pleasure, Steve. Always great to be on the show, and I look forward to chatting more soon in this exciting run up to the Breeders' Cup.
Pete Fornatel looms boldly on Twitter, and read everything he writes about the contest scene at DRF.com, the tournament drop-down. We'll take a break, and when we come back, Mike Ferraro is going to join us and talk about Les Hewlett, who passed away this week at 69.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're bound to wait all night. She's bound to run a mile. Invested in nothing at any height. He reaches on. The garden's sorting out. She curls her lips on a bough. I don't know if I'm dead or not. If you ain't.
We're back at the races, coming up toward the top of the hour. Sid Fernando will join us. Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale in just a little bit. Right now, I always am happy to see Mike Ferraro and to have him on. I hate that it's under these circumstances. News came from Utah, circulated by Finger Lakes via press release yesterday, that a brain tumor, brain cancer, had claimed Les Hewlett at just 69. And for anybody that comes from upstate New York, that knows the history of Finger Lakes and the history of New York breeding and racing, knows Les Hewlett, just a stalwart, 3 decades basically at Finger Lakes, and a guy that was so respected and appreciated, and really a gentleman of the first order, a Mormon. And Mike Ferraro joins us. Mike, this has really been received with overwhelming sadness and an outpouring for Les Hewlett.
Yes, I was very shocked when I heard that he had brain cancer, and I was, he was always in such good shape when he was riding. And I think I seen him about 5 or 6 years ago. He came, and he still looked really good. And he was always fit and looked like he could ride. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I think it was. It was not too long ago. And when they told me that, he didn't have long to live, I was really shocked and saddened by it.
You mentioned his fitness, and he comes from this heritage, it seems, of wrestlers. Tony Black will be with us tomorrow. Watched Jeremy Rose the other day and ride up the horse that tried to savage Firenze Fire, another schoolboy wrestler, and it was from his high school days. A natural lightweight, 108 pounds. Somebody, I guess his high school principal said that, you might make a really good jockey. And the next thing you knew, it became a career.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, his style was quite unusual, but he really got the job done. A lot of horses responded to the way he rode. And, of course, I had the best horse I ever had was Fiorito, who won the Whitney. He won 22 races out of his career. I think I won 28 or 29 with him, and he won 22 of those races.
Exactly.
And I rode him on a lot of horses here at Finger Lakes. And like I said, he was not the kind of rider that was a pitcher rider, but he won a lot of races. He won a lot of races for me.
3,800 plus in his career, and you mentioned Fiorito, and you and I have talked about him, and I'm friendly with Ray Lassesi's son Mike, who of course is a outstanding horseman in his own right, and really Fiorito, an important story in the scheme of New York breeding, considering he was the first graded stake winner of note, New York bred, and that Whitney win, and then you came right back and you won the Michigan Mile as well, and those were Ray's only two graded stake, Les's only two graded stake wins.
Yes, and I have to give all the credit to Mr. Lassesi for wanting to run in there, because I was more of a conservative trainer, where I would like to place them where I thought they would have a really good chance of winning. And when I put him in the Whitney, it was Ray's urging, let's do it. He loves that racetrack. And I says, all right, and he was training super. And, then the next, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks after the Whitney, we went to Detroit and won the Michigan Mile. And Les had rode him right through. In fact, Mr. Lassesi and I had a little bit of an argument early on, maybe, I don't know if it was before the Whitney or way before the Whitney, but I remember he was getting a lot of agents that were telling him that Les' style was not taken too much by some of the people in New York, and he was thinking of changing jockeys. And I says, well, you might have to change trainers too, because I says, I can't take Les off this horse. I says, he's done nothing but good on him. So, but that was just a brief instance, and Ray says, yeah, you're right. You know, a lot of people had, you know, tried to get into his ears because they seen that horse was doing so well. But he came around and he said, yeah, keep less on him. So that was the best thing that I thought for the horse, because horse responded very well from the way he rode.
Mike Ferraro with us, and we're talking about Les Hewlett, who was taken quickly spent 30 years basically at Finger Lakes, won a bunch of training titles, and was just not just a reliable source of wins in the afternoons. Mike, he was somebody that came out early and was the kind of person that others would go to for help, and I didn't realize, you know, the Mormon connection, but he obviously had, you know, a lot of the faith that, you know, that the Latter-day Saints instill and insist on in adherence. And everything I've read, the outpouring of they're coming out of the woodwork to say things that Les did for them, people that had different issues to deal with, that he was just that kind of a go-to person that really every backstretch needs.
He was a real gentleman. I mean, soft-spoken, and I've never seen him ever get angry. And I imagine he has, but I never seen it. And he rode a lot of horses for me, and he won a lot of races. And he was always very, very nice to people, to the grooms, to the handlers of horses. And, you know, everybody liked him. He was a very likable man.
Well, married 46 years, and sympathies to his wife, and a big family, 7 kids, 19 grandchildren, and I guess they were all with him. This he passed over the weekend, going, I think, back to Friday, and the word only circulated and got to Finger Lakes during this week. They're going to have they're not going to take any delay at all. There'll be a Les Hewlett race, and he's in the Rochester Sports and Finger Lakes Hall of Fame. And you know, I don't get to every one of these kinds of passings, Mike. But having gone to the races during the period, particularly in the late 80s and 90s, when you would see him, he would come and ride at Saratoga too during the summer. He'd always have a couple of mounts, but then to see the Whitney win, which I'll put it up on Twitter, the link it's on YouTube, that was so special. And you know, for you too, we've talked about it before.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think that, you know, this is good that, you know, people really respected Les, and I think this is very good that, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, just in the last 3 or 4 days, people come up to me because they know that I knew him very well, and, you know, they said, wow, isn't that a shame? And, you know, they, even though he's been out of sight here for a long time, they still remembered him, and he was probably one of the leading riders here as far as wins. I'm not sure exactly how many races he won at Finger Lakes, but he had to be one of the top riders that came out of this racetrack.
Well, and I guess when you said that the last time you saw him, that would have been for the 50th anniversary of Finger Lakes. Was the last time he
did. That's what it was. That's quite a few. Yeah, that's what it was. It was.
2012.
Yeah. That was the
Mike, I appreciate you coming in and to have this conversation, and I wanted people to take a minute and appreciate him. And you win 3,800 races in this game. That says volumes. The 86th winningest rider in the game's history, and the majority coming at Finger Lakes, and the biggest being with the wonderful Fiorito, for you and for Ray Lasessi.
Yeah, Okay, well, thank you very much.
Mike, I appreciate it, and continued success. Mike Ferraro, who does a tremendous job in Finger Lakes and on the Naira circuit, there's one. He himself is piling up the wins, actually, and I should I'm doing a disservice. 3,816 wins for Les Hewlett, and when it comes to Mike Ferraro himself, his numbers, I'm going to pull that up because Mike's numbers are outstanding. His career wins, he's up to 3,246 in his career, and 13,000 mounts. Mike Ferraro knows how to train. We'll take a break. Top of the hour upon us. And when we come back, Sid Fernando is going to join us. We'll talk about the news from the week. The Sons of Curlin, who provided for a bit of a interesting scenario that came to a head the last 2 days. Good Magic's retirement. And he goes to Hillendale. And, of course, last year before Derby, Irish War Cry had been inked to stand at Hillendale. But with the acquisition of Good Magic, Irish War Cry heading to Northview, Richard Golden's farm in Maryland. And John Secure explained he was sought after, and rather than having two young sons of Curlin, there'll be a Curlin to access in Maryland at Northview. And we'll let Sid riff on that and more when we come back at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfertello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.